I've given to some of the children, some of the boys and girls, these sermon questions. And what I do in Sheffield is, if people have a good try to answer some of the questions, I give sweets like this to Wendy at the end, and then she gives them to you when she has a look at the questions you've answered. So that may give you an incentive. Trusting God and keeping your powder dry. Sort of both things together. So I'll give these to Wendy at the end, as my wife. And if you want to have a go at answering the questions, and she'll have a look, and it'll help you perhaps to follow what we're looking at as we think about a man called Zacchaeus. I thought of Zacchaeus because I read a little while ago in Sheffield a story about the owner of one of these gyms, like a training centre. And he offered £100 to anyone who would come to the gym and show that they were stronger than him. And what he said he would do is, he would get hold of a lemon, cut it in half, and then he'd squeeze it in his strong hand like this. And if anybody could come and then take the lemon that he'd squeezed and squeeze it again and get 6 more drops out of the lemon, he'd give him £100. So all sorts of people came. Strong men came. One man who had been a wrestler came. And another man who was a martial arts expert, he came. And a man who's a bricklayer came. All sorts of men came. Try and squeeze these 6 more drops out from the lemon to get the £100 from the owner of the gym. And not one of them could get 6 more drops out of the lemon. Until one day, this small fellow came. And he said he could do it, but as no one else had been able to do it before. And everyone laughed. They thought, this little fellow, he'll never be able to get hold of the lemon after the owner of the gym, big strong guy, had squeezed it. And this little fellow, he came, squeezed the lemon, and he seemed to be easily to get 6 more drops out of the lemon. Out they came, and he claimed his £100. And everybody was amazed. What secret did this man have to do what nobody else could do? Somebody thought, was he a professor of physics at Sheffield University? No, he said. What do you do, they said. Oh, he said, I'm a tax collector. See? Now, Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector. And tax collectors are well known as squeezing the last drop out of everyone, aren't they? And this man was a chief tax collector. And not only was he a chief tax collector, but he cheated on everyone by the look of it. Because he had figured out a way how he could get extra money for himself. In fact, the Bible tells us he was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. And he was in a very good place to collect taxes. So we'll think first of all about the searcher. The searcher. And he's called Zacchaeus, who found out one day that Jesus was passing through a town called Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. And as we've sung in one or two of the songs we've sung, that Jesus was making his way to lay down his life on the cross. That he might die as the just for the unjust, he the just for us, the unjust, to bring us to God. And the Lord Jesus was becoming known as a mighty man of God. He'd come to rescue all sorts of people, all kinds of people. In fact, we read here that Jesus himself said that the Son of Man, speaking about himself, came to seek and to save what was lost. So here's Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, and he worked for the Romans. And because the Romans were people who'd come in and occupied the country, Zacchaeus was a sort of traitor, a very dodgy character. He was more interested in money than anything else. It seemed that Zacchaeus could take a cut, a commission from all the taxes that were paid to him. But because the Romans were the invading power and he was working for them collecting taxes, no one would want much to do with Zacchaeus. And he was at the top of the tax collection pyramid. He had plenty of opportunity to get money then, because he was also probably something of a cheat. Tax collectors in the days of Jesus were known then as very unsavory characters. But Jericho was a great place to be. Zacchaeus was in Jericho, and a lot of people would pass through Jericho, coming in and out of the city on their way to Jerusalem. So if there was a great feast, a Passover, for example, it was a great opportunity for Zacchaeus to make money. It was the center of a trade network that extended from Damascus to Egypt. So whether it was trade, whether it was people making their way to Jerusalem, people on a journey, often Jericho was a city people passed through. Zacchaeus was in the prime place to make money. It may have been one of the main tax centers in the whole country. It may well be that Zacchaeus, as a tax collector, had the best place of all. So we're not surprised when the Bible tells us he was wealthy. What would be the equivalent today of a tax collector in the days of Jesus? I know sometimes, you know, inland revenue tax collectors, not all that popular now. But today the equivalent of a tax collector would be perhaps a drug dealer. Someone with a criminal record. Perhaps someone who was regarded as something of a traitor. Imagine someone from the UK going out to Afghanistan to fight against the British forces there. An Al-Qaeda terrorist. Zacchaeus was a very undesirable person. He was disconnected from other people. You would not want Zacchaeus in your house. And he was also disconnected from God. He's the last person you'd want anything to do with. He's a classic example of a person who would be described as lost. Lost is the word that Jesus used when he described his mission in coming into this world. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We read about the word lost in our newspapers. A trawler crew lost at sea. A potholer lost in a cave in Derbyshire. A cameraman lost in Iraq. Spiritually, as far as God is concerned, the Bible says, you, me, human beings everywhere, lost. Cut off, far away, lost from God. Now, it may be that Zacchaeus is a particularly colourful character, an example of a person who's lost spiritually. But the truth of the Bible, which is very clear this morning, while you may not be a cheat, a traitor, a thief, an extortioner, actually, all people left to themselves spiritually are lost. Lost because what human beings do is naturally push God out of their life. Push God out to the margins or even beyond the margins of life. Try to live without God. Lost then because you're disconnected from God. Lost because you rebel against him. And you say, I'm going to live my own life, my own way. I don't need God. And if you continue to live like that, says the Bible, pushing God out of your life, there are eternal consequences, lost forever. Being lost is very dangerous. A child is lost. The child cries for its mother, for its father. But to be lost as far as God is concerned, and to be lost eternally, how serious that is. The Bible speaks about outer darkness, being lost, cut off from God forever. So though Zacchaeus was very wealthy and very successful by this world's standards, it seems as if Zacchaeus knew something wasn't right. Even today in our British society, people will from time to time admit there's more to life than money, there's more to life than possessions, and there's something about our society that's not right. So the government wants to think about installing metal detectors at schools because of school children carrying knives. Something's not right. A successful young actor in the United States, in his flat in New York, with the acting profession all opening up before him, but takes an overdose of sleeping pills and dies. Something's not right. And I want you to notice that the Bible doesn't just say that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. I was saying to the boys and girls, you can't see over the top of the crowd. But actually what the Bible says, he wanted to see who Jesus was. So it's more than that he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Who is this Jesus? Now, he wanted to see him, but it's more than that. Who he was. What was it that made Jesus different from everyone else? What was it about Jesus that made him stand out? There was something about him. Zacchaeus wanted to figure it out. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, he may not have fully understood everything that was going on in his own heart, but Zacchaeus had a need to get to Jesus. And it may be that's how you feel sometimes. There's something about Jesus Christ. You read about him in the Bible. You hear about him in sermons. You've seen people who've trusted in Jesus and their lives have changed. Who is he? Perhaps you're intrigued in a way. You want to find out more who Jesus is. Now, Zacchaeus had two problems on that day. He was a short man. So I can sort of picture him bouncing up and down on his toes, trying to see over the taller people in front of him. But with all the crowds, there was no way of him getting close to Jesus. And I can imagine, I don't know, as you read the Bible stories and you try to imagine what was happening, but I would like to imagine, I think, that there would have been some unhappy taxpayers in that crowd in front of Zacchaeus. And I can imagine that some unhappy taxpayer, if Zacchaeus was nearby and was bouncing up and down trying to see who Jesus was, might have accidentally given him a dig in the ribs. Because Zacchaeus was a very undesirable man, a traitor. So he had this problem, but he had a bigger problem. And his bigger problem was not physical, it was spiritual. His sins cut him off from God. Zacchaeus was short physically, but he was also short spiritually. He didn't measure up to God's standards. He fell short of a relationship with God. He was short on integrity. And so the Bible tells us in verse 4, he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. So although he was short, it seems Zacchaeus wasn't slow. He ran ahead of the crowd. He looked for a way that he could see Jesus. And the picture is a little bit amusing, I think, that it was undignified for a rich man to run. It would have been undignified for a wealthy man to be seen clambering up a tree. Sycamore trees, these sort of fig trees, often grew by the side of the road. They had horizontal branches, which made them a bit easier to climb than some trees. and you'd get a good view of Jesus from there. But he had to be pretty determined, didn't he? To run, to climb the tree. He was determined to see Jesus. He may have snagged his clothes on the tree. May have got himself out of dirty climbing the tree. But he was determined. He didn't care, in other words, what other people thought about him running, about him climbing. There was a determination. So Zacchaeus didn't allow anything to stand between him and his determination to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm saying this morning, do you know and do you care and do you feel enough about your spiritual condition? That if it means walking away from the crowd, going in a different direction, or your family, or your friends, or your colleagues in work, or in a university flat or lecture room, but that you're not going to let that deter you from seeing who Jesus really is, and to find out for yourself. Even if it'll mean swimming against the pressure of the crowd. Peer pressure can be a vicious thing. It can be hard to stand out in a crowd. To be a bit revolutionary. But Zacchaeus, it seems, was determined enough to risk that, to see who Jesus was. So that's the first thing, the searcher. The second thing is the saviour. I want to read you something that someone has written about one solitary life. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30, and then for 3 years he was a travelling preacher. He never owned a home. He never wrote a book. He never held office. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never travelled more than 200 miles from the place he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. Then the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through a mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he died, his executioners gambled for the only property he had on earth, his clothes. When he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries later, and yet still he's the center of the human race. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that were ever built, all the parliaments that have ever sat, and all the kings that have ever reigned, put them together. They've not affected the life of people on this earth as powerfully as that one solitary life. Now, those words, of course, are about Jesus Christ. Whatever you think of him this morning, you can't deny the power of Jesus Christ in the life of Zacchaeus and the life of countless millions of people all over the world this morning and all down through human history. So while Zacchaeus may have been searching, the Bible tells us actually that Jesus Christ was seeking him. Because when Jesus reached the spot where Zacchaeus had climbed the tree, Jesus looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." The Lord Jesus Christ took note of Zacchaeus. Jesus stopped. Jesus looked up. Jesus called him by name. Jesus told Zacchaeus that he must come to his house. So Lord Jesus Christ is on his way to the cross. He's on his way to lay down his life, the bloody death of a cross. And yet he stops, he ministers to, he deals with a searching sinner. And Jesus knew right where Zacchaeus was because he knew all about him. And he was filled with compassion, love towards him. That's what always happens. Jesus Christ makes the first move, coming to a sinner, coming to a Zacchaeus, coming to you, coming to me. And he offers new life. You'd never be able to come to Jesus Christ unless he came to you first, as he comes this morning, through his word, the message of the Bible, by his Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus pick out Zacchaeus when there were crowds of people? So many people that he could have spoken to. He picked out Zacchaeus. Why does Jesus pick out Zacchaeus when you might have expected him to pick out a religious person, or an upstanding person, or a decent person, a good neighbor? What you have here is a wonderful example of the extravagant grace and love and mercy of God. Zacchaeus doesn't deserve anything. But Jesus stops. Jesus talks with him. Zacchaeus doesn't even invite Jesus to his home. Jesus offers to be a guest at his home. Zacchaeus has nothing to offer Jesus in terms of merit or righteousness or goodness. But the amazing thing is, Jesus comes to a lost person like Zacchaeus, like you, like me. Comes to you just as you are. So Jesus doesn't go to Zacchaeus and say, clean up your life enough, and then I'll come to your house. He comes to Zacchaeus and says, I must stay at your house today. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'll come into your life as you are. I'll do the cleaning up. You can't clean yourself up. I'll come in. I'll clean up your life. God makes that sovereign initiative. So there's no deserving. There's no earning. There's no meriting on your part. That's why the Christian message is such good news. Other religions say, clean your life up enough and perhaps God will come in and accept you. Make yourself acceptable to God. Perhaps God will have you. Pull yourself up by your own shoelaces towards God. And that's asking the impossible, which is why religion is such a miserable burden. But what Jesus says is totally different. He doesn't say, Zacchaeus, clean yourself up and then I'll come to you. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So there's a wonderful illustration of the mission of Jesus coming to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus seeks out those who are disconnected from God. They may be outcasts. They may be undesirable. They may say that they have little worth before God. You may feel like that this morning. Not good or worthy at all. But Zacchaeus shows that God did not send Jesus for those who are the religious type of person. Whatever that means. You need God at the center of your life. Jesus Christ comes to bring you back to God. And it may be as you begin to listen to this message of good news in Jesus Christ, who comes to seek and to save that which was lost, that the Bible's analysis of human life, that you need God at the center of your life, and you've been pushing him out to the margin of life, which is why Jesus Christ came on a rescue mission to die on a cross, to pay himself the debt sinners owe to God. To reconnect you to God. You begin to realize the penny begins to drop. I'm lost. I need God. I need God at the center of my life. And it's only Jesus Christ who can save me. You notice the words that Jesus uses to Zacchaeus. Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Immediately. Today, right now, there's always that urgency about trusting in and following Jesus Christ. Today, the day of salvation. Don't wait to clean yourself up. Come to Jesus today. So the searcher, the Saviour, and thirdly, the salvation. Zacchaeus didn't waste any time getting down the tree. We find he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, jump down from the tree. Zacchaeus jumped. He came down right away. He welcomed Jesus gladly. He got far more than he thought. He'd wanted to see who Jesus was. But now Jesus is coming to his house for a meal. He's overwhelmed with joy. Joy is one of the great themes of the gospel. What does it take for your life to be full of joy and praise and thankfulness to God? If you're a Christian this morning, shouldn't our lives be more full of this exuberant joy? Too often, faces of Christians are fallen and hearts heavy and our minds muddled with all sorts of cares and concerns and burdens. But we can learn, I think, something from the example of Zacchaeus in this, that when people encounter Jesus Christ, their lives are full of this joyful praise to God. And surely that should be reflected today and in your daily life as a Christian. So when you gather together with believers to worship God, as you seek to serve Jesus Christ and witness for him, one of the great characteristics of the Christian is joy. Because in contrast to Zacchaeus' joy, in verse 7, the crowd began to mutter, Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Why is Jesus talking with Zacchaeus? Why is Jesus bothering with Zacchaeus? Why is Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house? And so they all began to complain, to mutter. They're finding fault with what Jesus was doing. You know, it's funny, we can react in the same way. People hear of forgiveness in Jesus Christ to lost people. People of whatever background. The outsider, the undesirable, the untouchable, the person who's not like us. I have a friend, Peter Jackson, who As a child, lost his sight. He's a wonderful pianist. And he's got a very acute sense of smell and hearing, but can't see. And I was taking him the other day to a meeting in Sheffield. He said, you know, the funny thing is, our own sins always smell better than other people's, he said. Always can find some reason for our own sins. But that other person's sin, well, that always smells much worse. And it's a bit like that with Zacchaeus. The crowd who were muttering, they had their own sins to worry about. But Zacchaeus' sins, they were much worse. Let's complain, let's mutter. Let's complain against Jesus going to be with Zacchaeus. But after the meal and the conversation, we see that here's a man whose life was transformed. Zacchaeus was transformed by this encounter with Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus stood up, said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Zacchaeus came to see he was a sinner. He needed a saviour. He needed a saviour who'd bring him salvation, who'd rescue him, who'd put him right before God. And his conversion is clearly seen in this life change that occurs. Zacchaeus is fully sold out to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has changed his heart, and now he wanted to demonstrate that in his life and actions. And this decision is voluntary. It flowed out of a heart of gratitude for what Jesus Christ had done for him. And we know that because Jesus says in verse 9, today salvation has come to this house. This man too is a son of Abraham. He's a believer, has faith. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And now here is Zacchaeus who believes God. And his life is changed because righteousness is put to his account through trusting in Jesus Christ.
The Son of Man, Jesus says, came to seek and to save that which was lost. And as part of his repentance, Zacchaeus wants to put right the wrongs. Biblical repentance always goes hand in hand with salvation. Salvation is a radical, life-changing event. Zacchaeus is now a new man, a different man. So he declares he'll give half of his possessions to the poor, and he'll make restitution four times the amount he swindled. What does that tell you? It tells you, before he met Jesus Christ, money was number one to Zacchaeus. That was at the center of his life, money. After his faith and repentance, now Jesus Christ is at the center of his life. And that idol, money, which had been at the center, is now put into its right place. And he's willing to give away and give back four times, in fact, all that he swindled. So money, which dominated his life, was the idol. Now Jesus Christ is at the center of his life. Albert Schweitzer said a very challenging thing. He said, if you own something that you cannot give away, then you don't own it. It owns you. That's challenging, isn't it? If you own something that you cannot give away, then you don't own it. It owns you. Zacchaeus went through a change of life then. What happened to Zacchaeus may have a direct application to you this morning. First of all, he was curious. He wanted to see who Jesus was. If you're curious, can I encourage you and challenge you? Why don't you get hold of Luke's gospel and read it through? And ask God to show you, as you read it, who Jesus is. Why don't you ask one of the leaders in the church here? I'd like to do some Bible studies. Christianity Explained. Number one question, who is Jesus? Second question, why did he die on the cross? Third question, did he really rise from the dead? What is grace? What is repentance? What is faith? If you said, for an hour a week, for 6 weeks, I'll study the Bible with someone and find out who Jesus really is. And all over this country and in many countries, many people, through that sort of Bible study, are finding out who Jesus really is. And I don't think there'd be any leader in the church here who would turn you away if you asked to study the Bible like that. He was curious. Then he considered. When Jesus said he was coming to his house, he was full of joy. He'd find out now much more. If you're reading the Bible for yourself, if you're seeking to find out who Jesus is, but it's more than curious, well, I would say to you, come with a dependence on God, week by week. Come here on a Sunday morning. Take it seriously, considering who Jesus is. Because what happened to Zacchaeus is the Savior met with him and he was converted. The seeking Savior met with him, saved him. His sins were forgiven, and his life was radically changed. So he went from curious to considering to converted to changed. And the good news of salvation through rescue in Jesus Christ, God accepting you on the basis of Jesus' death and resurrection, not because of what you can contribute, not because of what you deserve, not because of what you can earn, not because of what you can do, but once you are accepted and you know this salvation that Zacchaeus came to know, it will make a difference in your life. When you're reconnected to God through Jesus Christ, the result is always transformation. Cheats will stop being cheats. Swindlers will want to give back what they've swindled. Thieves will return what they've stolen. In Belfast some years ago, when God moved in many hearts of people working in the docks in Belfast, and their lives were transformed and changed by the power of God. They started bringing back the tools from the dockyard that they'd taken home, and they had to build a new shed. If you go to Belfast, the shed that they built for all the returning things that the dockers brought back when their lives had been changed by Jesus Christ. And when that shed was full, they said, look, stop bringing everything back. We've got no room to keep it anywhere. But they wanted to bring the stuff back. Why? Because their lives have been changed. Someone who's on the outside has now become a member of the family of God. One who's excluded from God is given salvation and is a friend of God. One disconnected from God is now a son of Abraham, has faith. Forsaking all, I trust him, faith. An inheritor of the promises of God, not by ceremony, not by race, not by some religious ritual, but by trust, faith in Jesus Christ. One who's lost has been found. A life is beginning to be transformed, and the process begins, but it goes on. You are being, if you're a Christian here this morning, continually transformed by encountering Jesus Christ, so that God's purpose might be made known one day. Make you more and more and more like Jesus Christ till one day in heaven, in glory, perfectly transformed, perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The searcher, the saviour, the salvation. Do you know this saviour? Do you know this salvation? Who Jesus is.